If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to today's scripture. Right. Sermon title today is Run the Race with Endurance. And we're going to be looking today at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through to 27. And the scripture reads, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified." Now, back when I was in the military, one of the things that we often did was endurance training. And it's probably one of the most hardest things in the military because you're always pushing yourself past that limit. So they would train you in order to run. If you thought you can run 5 kilometers, you might one day have to run 10. If you could only do 20 push-ups, one day you have to do 40. And if you only could get over a 3-meter wall, someday you would have to get over a 4-meter one. And they would continue this mind over matter training. And eventually, when I got to the Royal Military College, we would go through something called the first year orientation period. It was 30 days of the hardest training, both physically and mentally, that you could ever go through. And the reason we were training is that, first off, we were a bunch of strangers that came together and we needed to work as a team. Because at the end of this 30 days, we were going to compete in an obstacle course. Now, this isn't an obstacle course that is like half an hour and then everybody says, yay, we did it. This is a 2.5-hour obstacle course, 10 obstacles. You run a half marathon from just running from one obstacle to the next. And then as well, you're doing obstacles in between all of those things. And there was one thing that was apparent in every single obstacle that was going through that. We either win as a team or we lose as a team. There was no way that one person could do one of those obstacles on their own. We all had to come together. We all had to work as a team in order to do this. So, we got some pictures. You might notice that that guy looks familiar. I was a little bit more, serious back then. And the reason that I was looking so serious, because I could see the first obstacle that was coming my way. And I was kind of pumping myself up in order to do this. So what are some of these obstacles? Well, one of them is you take a big truck tire, about a 2-ton truck tire, and you have to flip it end over end, 2x2, going up and over. And most people will say, yeah, you do that. Well, they make it a little bit more complicated by putting gas masks on you, so just to make sure that you're nice and winded at the very beginning. How about doing sit-ups? Sit-ups are fun. It works your core. Well, we like to do it with telephone poles covered in mud. Real fun. And we would have to carry those telephone poles on our shoulder, and we'd carry them through a little maze, and then we would have to get down on the ground and do 30 sit-ups altogether, and then we would put the telephone pole down, we'd get another one, and we'd go back and forth like that. And then we would play a little game of tug-of-war. And tug-of-war is nice and fun, except if it's not the end of a 2-ton truck and you're being sprayed with fire hoses. It's wonderful fun. And then at the end of it, one of the hardest and most stringently judged was the wall. The wall is about 3 times the size of a normal guy, and all of us would have to get up and over that wall. And eventually, you would get all your biggest guys down at the bottom here. You would have them pushing everybody up, and then you'd have your 2 other biggest guys up at the top pulling people over. Didn't matter if you were small, large, medium-sized, everybody had to get up over the wall. And eventually, you would get everybody up over the wall. But there's one thing that's really complicated. How do you get the last guy over? Because there's nobody left to help push him up. So what you do is you get your biggest guy, which is a 200-pound rugby player in our case named Strosel, and then down at the bottom you get your wiriest guy, and that's down at the bottom my roommate Bougeot, and he would hang off the edge of the ledge and then grab him by the pant legs. And then he would crawl up like this. And then his job wasn't over, because then he had to take said 200-pound man and fling him up over the wall onto a crash mat. And we did this simply for a prize. This was a competition. It was something that we had been training for day in, day out, and working together as a team to make this happen. Now, we didn't win that year. We had some good times and whatnot, but we didn't win. But we did win this moment. The end of first-year orientation period. We won the right to go through the rite of passage and become part of the squadron, because we've gone through this ordeal. And we all got together, and at the end of it, there's a flagpole, and we ring that bell to signal that we're done. And we take our flight leader and we hoist him up onto our shoulders, because he was the one that had trained us and really drived hard that we were going to win as a team or we were going to lose as a team. And he was one of the main reasons that we did so well. Now, in this passage that we're talking about today, the Apostle Paul is comparing the Christian life to the games. Now, the Corinth church was very close to where the games were taking place, and all of the competitors would have to train very hard in order to do well in boxing and in running. Now, in those days, any time that you wanted to compete in the games, get rid of that cord, we had to anytime you wanted to compete at the games, you actually had to sign a contract for 10 months. And that 10 months, you had no choice over your life. You were a slave, essentially, to your coach. He told you what to eat, what to do, how to do it, when to get up in the morning, when to go to bed. Everything was under control of your coach. And for 10 months, you would follow that strict regime. And what he's saying is that if they're willing to subject themselves to such harsh physical training, how much more should we, trying to strive after a crown that will never fail and never fade away? The wreath that they would win is just simply greenery, some pieces of pine and parsley that put on their heads, and it'd be dead in 2 days. And at the end of the day, nobody would care in about a couple of months' time. So why is it that we therefore need to work just as hard in order to subject ourselves and subject our bodies in order to train, in order to build up the kingdom of God? Now, in the couple of passages back, Paul talks a little bit more about this and how he views that in his own life. One of the things he says is that a preacher is worth a wage, that he should receive a wage. But the interesting thing that he says is, like, yes, definitely do that, but don't you dare give me a wage, because it will affect my ministry. I won't be as effective if you give me a wage. And that really speaks into the type of person that the Apostle Paul was. Anything that he said, did, or subjected himself to was to further the gospel. There wasn't one single thing that he did that wasn't for the gospel mission. So what is it that we need to do? Well, around this time of year, a very magical thing happens, and we all start to look downward. And I don't mean that in a spiritual way. I mean, you look down this way, and that food baby that's been growing for the past 30 days or so is starting to get a little bit big. And you say, how am I going to get rid of the food baby? And you might go to the gym, you might start running. But one of the things that if you go to a gym, you'll always get a trainer that will go through a plan with you. Any good gym will have a trainer that's willing to say, okay, these are the things that you need to do to work your body in order to make your goals happen. And in the same way, we need to come together and we need to figure out what our spiritual goals are in order to work better and more effectively for the kingdom of God. So how do we do that? Well, spiritual disciplines is the way that we go about that. Now, spiritual disciplines are simply this. It's a very big concept, but you can kind of boil it down to one simple thing. These are holy habits. These are habits that people have day in, day out, in order to build up their relationship with God and make themselves more effective in order to build up the kingdom of God. And these all have a place in life. And the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking about these spiritual disciplines, how to have them in your life, and their importance. So we'll take a look at a couple of the highlights. Bible intake. Bible intake is so important. If you get nothing else, If you don't start with this, you're basically stumbling off of the starting blocks. You're going to fall on your face because the Bible is the holy word. It's the main way that God communicates. It's a living word. It's not just a book. It's not just history. It's a living document where God speaks through directly to you. So we're going to talk about what Bible intake, different ways that you can take in the Bible and how to have it in central in your life. Prayer and fasting. We talked a little bit about prayer about a couple of months ago, but we didn't have enough time to go through fasting and how that integrates into prayer life. And it's very important. It's a critical part. It's throughout Scripture, they talk about this concept of prayer and fasting. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and how to have that as central in your life. Worship. Worship is much more than music. It's much, much more. It's not about guitars or drums or organs or pianos. It's about absolutely being reverent towards God. And we're going to talk about the biblical foundation for worship and what it actually means to worship God and how you can form a discipline of worshiping God on a regular basis. Because it can't just be in a Sunday morning where we come together and sing a couple of songs. It can't just be that. So we're going to take a look deeper into what that means. Evangelism. Evangelism is something that is critical in a Christian life. If you have a healthy relationship with God and you have a healthy relationship with who Christ is, then you should be talking about him. It's as if, like, if I didn't talk about Heather at all, my wife, and kind of kept her into the back room, you wouldn't really know that she was my wife. In the same way, if you don't talk about your Savior, you really can't tell whether or not he is your Savior. So we're going to talk about some techniques on how to evangelize and how to do it more comfortably and without fear. Serving. We need to serve God. We need to serve our community. We need to serve our families. Whenever I hear people talk about servant's heart, it's normally followed by asking me to stack chairs. Normally. But it's much more than that. And serving is not just simply something that can be contained into the four walls of the church, and that's why I put in the brackets God, community, and family, because we need to have equal servings of all of them in order to be effective. We need to take care of our families, we need to take care of our community, and we need to take care of God's church. So we're going to talk a bit about that in the coming weeks. Retreat. Retreat is such a fantastic way to get perspective. And I've always really enjoyed, in the busiest times of my life, is when the Holy Spirit tells me, Ewan, you got to get away for a couple of days. And just set the world aside for a minute. I need to talk to you. Discipline without direction is drudgery. If you don't have a plan, you will not be able to achieve the goals that the Holy Spirit is pressing upon you. Because you need to have something specific in order to strive towards. So that entails a spiritual growth plan. Now, like in the gym, when you go in and say, okay, I'm going to do 20 push-ups, 4 reps, and so many over the course of the evening, or I'm going to go to the gym an hour every day, and I'm going to do these exercises, a spiritual growth plan looks very similar to what you would have at a gym. It has all of the different disciplines that God has been pressing upon you to really have central in your life. And then you go through and you see how well you're doing every week. So the first thing is that you need to be specific. If you're not specific, you can't really tell if you're making the grade. And this is something that a lot of people have a real trouble with being specific. And mainly it's because they say, well, I want to be free to do what it is that I want to do and be free for the Spirit's leading. The Spirit can also lead in planning, and the Spirit can also lead in the chaos just as much as in order. And you need to really pray to God. It's like, okay, what is it that you're calling me to do? Are you calling me to a half an hour of prayer per day? Are you calling me to an hour? And you can put through that in each of the disciplines, and you can form a plan, and you can see whether or not you're falling away from the plan that God has put in place for you, or if you're doing really well and you need to increase those goals and grow in your spirituality. Next thing, you need to tell somebody about your plan. When you're running, the best way to run is with a partner, because it allows each of you to encourage one another, allows you to keep everybody on the same page, keep everybody accountable. When you wake up in the morning at 5 o'clock and you have somebody rapping at your door to come and run, normally you'll get up and run. In the same way, in our spiritual lives, if we talk with one another and we ask each other what we're doing and what we're striving towards, it allows us to be really focused on that, because we have someone to be accountable to and we have someone to encourage. So if you're working on something, tell somebody about it. And it doesn't have to be me, or it doesn't have to be Pastor Quincy or one of the deacons. Find somebody that's around the same page as you. Tell them that, like, yeah, I'm really working on the spiritual discipline of prayer. And, oh yeah, that's something I'm working on as well. And you can work it out together and tell people how it is that you're working on this spiritual discipline. And the last thing is, we focus on spiritual discipline and we train in order to transform the world. This is not simply something that we do for ourselves and to internalize it. It's something that we do in order that we can go out and fulfill God's mission. When the Apostle Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 9, he says that I work and I train in order that I might not be disqualified. Now, it doesn't mean disqualified in the fact that he loses his salvation because of it. It's not the case. Disqualified meaning that when he preaches, he's going to live up to the expectation that people have for him and for the gospel. So we train to transform the world. We don't do it just for ourselves. We do it for our community, for the unsaved, and for everyone around us, so that we can truly meet the expectation that God has for us. And in the same way that our squadron win or lost as a team, we will win or lose as a team. If we only focus on the internal, on ourselves, and we don't focus on the big picture, we are only as strong as our weakest member. You need to get everybody over across the wall. It's the same thing in the church. Every last person has to be on board, or else we will either win or we will lose as a team. So we are training in order that we can transform the world. And it's a big mission. And the Holy Spirit is already starting to work on people's hearts here, and I can see it. I can see it every day. I can see every second that I talk with somebody that the Holy Spirit is really tugging on people's hearts and everybody's trying to figure out, okay, what's the next step? And this is a great place to start, is these spiritual disciplines, is to really get into training and being able to be sent out for the gospel. So there's the spiritual disciplines again, if you want to write them down: Bible intake, prayer and fasting, worship, evangelism, serving, retreat, and engaging with other believers. Over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about some of these subjects, but what I want you to do is consider these and figure out what the Holy Spirit is really calling you to focus on this coming year, or even in the next couple of months. Figure out where it is that you need to grow. And as a church, let's come together and figure out how we are going to be more well-equipped to transform this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. Three or four? Let's give another one. Amen. 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 All right, cool. We really need to consider this. We need to take this seriously. And it's something of a passion of mine. And if we're going to seek a healthy church, we need to have these central. Now, there are other ones that are on top of these that we won't be able to get into. And if you're interested on some further study on that, I can give you lots of resources on that, on those. But these are the ones that we're going to focus on over the next couple of weeks. And really just pray about what it is that God's calling you to and how you can more fully mature into who God wants you to be. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you spoke to us today. And Lord, we just ask that you would tug at our hearts on how we need to mature spiritually, how we need to train ourselves. And Lord, we just ask that we would go out in your power and in your glory and transform this world. And it's our one prayer, Lord, that you would be the one that would be glorified. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. In Christ's name, amen.